We may be having some YouTube issues if you're watching on that this morning. We're trying to get all that straightened out. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. We're going to do communion today, the Lord's Supper. I'm just going to take a little bit of time just to talk about it. And just, we haven't done it for a while, and kind of to reiterate what the Lord's Supper is all about for us. And if we go back a couple of weeks to, we weren't here last week, so when I was speaking on Elijah, and I better get to that page, 2 weeks ago, Elijah was having some difficulties, and there was a couple of things that are really important in our relationship with God, and they are repeated throughout the Bible that we talked about, and Elijah had kind of forgotten or maybe lost sight of these things. And those two things are, God is with us, that's first, and the second one is that God is for us, or God is on our side. And so these are repeated over and over again in the Bible because God wants us to remember these things and dwell and think about these things. And it's easy today in these difficult times for us to feel like those things are no longer true. Those things are true, but we can easily feel like they are not. And that can create fear and anxiety for some. It can create control issues and maybe inappropriate manipulation for others. And for many, it can cause discouragement and some even depression. And what I talked about 2 weeks ago and did not go into it much, but just kind of mention, is that we need to create practices in our spiritual journey that we need to create and develop practices and habits that allow us and help us to remember that God is with us and that God is for us. Now, the good news is this. The Bible often speaks about the importance of remembering, and it gives us many practices by which we can remember the things God has done for us. I'm going to briefly look at the two biggest practices today that the Bible talks about in that we can do to remember God is with us and God is for us. The first one is in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, and it says this, "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." So the first one is Passover. For the people of the Old Testament, Passover is the central event of the Old Testament and of their lives, and everything else for them in the Old Testament was to be understood through the Passover. They viewed everything else in light of Passover. Now, in verse 14, it says, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. This is the practice. And it was the primary practice of the people of the Old Testament to remind them who God was and that God was with them and that God was for them. When it says a memorial here, that is much more, means much more than simply calling to mind a past event. Passover was a celebration of a living and present event also. It happened in the past, but Passover was experience and applied to those who celebrate it as the years went on. It was two ways that Passover is experienced with this. The first one is the folks celebrating Passover experience forgiveness of sins and the removal of guilt. And the second thing they experience, and we look back in verse 12 on line 3 on the slide there, it says, "And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." The second thing experienced at Passover for those who celebrated was the defeat of the forces of evil in their lives. Now, this is a common theme because what's happened is the plagues that God brought upon Egypt were, each one was directed at a specific god of Egypt. And what it's saying here is all of those gods in the Passover will be finally defeated for Israel. The second practice that we're going to look at is one in the New Testament, which we are going to celebrate today. And that is, of course, the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Twice in there, he says, "in remembrance of me." So it's very similar to, in Exodus, this memorial. And it's what we're remembering, of course, is the cross. And so for us, in the New Testament, the cross is the central event of the New Testament, but it's also the central event of the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it is also the central event of history. Everything else is to be understood through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of history is to be viewed through that event. And in the same way, as we come and remember this, we are doing much more than just bringing to mind an event that happened 2,000 years ago. This is a living celebration that is taking place. That we will, as we do this, we will experience, and it will apply to us in two ways. The first, we will experience forgiveness of sin and the removal of guilt. And second, we will experience the defeat of the forces of evil in our lives as we remember what Christ did for us on the cross. The next slide, Colossians 2:13, explains this. It says, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled out the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." First, on the cross, our sins are forgiven, taken away, the debt's paid, it's gone. And then the very next verse, it says, "Disarming the rulers and authorities, he has made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So he also, not only forgiving our sins, but he has defeated the powers of evil in our lives. We have victory through Christ, his death and resurrection, over the powers of evil in our lives. And often we can ignore that part or just forget and not realize that as we come to communion here, we're celebrating our forgiveness and our restoration of our relationship, but we are also celebrating the fact that the powers of evil have been defeated this very day. Now, the enemy is defeated on the cross. The victory has been won. But like Israel, we must learn how to enter into that victory. And that is a lifelong process. The victory's there, but the entering it in just takes daily work and daily practice. Before we actually do communion here, just I want to go back in the next slide to 1 Corinthians 11:23. And the last verse there says this, verse 26, "For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we're doing this, Paul's telling us here that we are proclaiming the gospel. As here in church, as we do this together, we're proclaiming the gospel to ourselves and to one another. And you at home, as you're taking communion, you're proclaiming the gospel. We need to hear the gospel ourselves. Not so that we can get saved again, but so that we can understand who we are and what has happened inside of us. One odd thing about this verse is it says we proclaim the Lord's death. Paul leaves out the resurrection here, which is really odd in a book that's all about the resurrection. Corinthians is just all about the resurrection of Christ. When Paul preaches the gospel in the book of Acts, his focus, a large part of it, and I would say the majority of it, is on the resurrection. He talks about the cross. But the resurrection just comes up over and over, and he leaves it out here. And I think this is purposeful because of the context of Corinth. What's going on here, he tells them before this, and we're not going to go back and read it, but he's saying, look, you come together, and they called it the Lord's Feast. They actually would have a meal and then do communion, do this remembrance. But what was happening in Corinth, they had rich people and poor people, and rich people, it was kind of like a COVID potluck. The rich people would bring their food in, and they would eat it. The poor people had no food. And the rich people would be eating their food in front of the poor people and not sharing. And Paul's telling them, this is all wrong, what you are doing. And I think he specifically says, you proclaim the Lord's death, letting them understand that, look, the purpose of this, what we are doing, is for us to understand that Jesus laid aside himself and gave his life as our servant. And he's saying, Corinthians, you need to do the same. You need to die for your brothers and sisters. They were observing the Lord's Supper regularly, but they weren't living it. And that was the problem. The Gospel of John leaves out this is my body, take it and eat it in the Last Supper. Leaves it out. It's not there. Well, that's curious. You know, John wrote that was old, so maybe it was kind of like a senior moment. No. Well, he may have senior moments, but that's not why that's there. He puts a different story in. You know what story is? Anybody know? You can yell it out. His Last Supper story is about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Ha. That's fascinating. It shows Jesus in a practical way, before he goes to the cross, already laying his life down for the church. It is the washing of the disciples' feet is an acted parable. It's a physical activity that points to a deep spiritual reality. And as we reenact this whole event now, we are remembering God is with us and God is for us. The musicians are going to come up, and for those of us here in the church, I'm going to be passing these out, and here's the deal with them, because it's a little complex. So what you have to do, there is a first layer that you peel off, and it's clear, and then you get the little bread piece, and then you pull the next layer off. So musicians, come on up. And
are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Again, are you hurting?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
might have life. Thank you for your blood that was shed. And thank you for defeating death and rising from the dead, that we could know for sure that we could spend eternity with you. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining us today. Apologies to those of you online, and have a great weekend.